You're listening to This QPOC Life, a podcast that looks at the world through the lens of a queer person of color. Now, if you're just joining us for the first time, welcome. If you're coming back, we got a lot to talk about, and it's going to be a lot. Again, we have at the table my friend, Stephen Wakabayashi. You might remember him from the last episode of This QPOC Life, in which we talked about his article, Dragging, Reading for Phil, Queer Eye Japan. Stephen, how are you this week?
I'm good. I'm fabulous, sparkling. I actually have with me this iridescent purple blue jacket.
I saw that when you came into the, like, you. I was waiting for you in the lobby. And, like, there was another event going on down here in Brick. It's like some kids event. All the parents are bringing their kids or whatever. And the guy saw it and he was like, what is it? I was like, you know, I'm trying to describe it. It's like if Harry Potter were about a gay teen and his invisibility cloak was not a cloak, but a bubble jacket.
Yeah, it's so good. It
this
just
thing,
keeps changing
like,
colors.
I can't tell what color it is because it's just so shiny and colorful.
Oh my God.
And it is a bubble jacket. And it's like, if you look at it, it's just weird, but it's amazing. Like you.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, New York has really grown on me. I wear all black most of the time.
Right.
But, you know, if I'm going to wear color, do all the colors.
At one time. On the same garment. That's so yes. Funny that you say that because, like, whenever I go, like, visit San Diego or, like, go to the South to visit my dad's side of the family and then I'm coming back, you can tell who's the New York crowd because they're all wearing black. It's just, it's like, yep, that's the New York plane right there. If you didn't know, if they changed the gate on you, that's it. I'm Jonathan, a.k.a. Blasian FMA. You can find me everywhere online, and I prefer the Instagrams.
And I'm Steven. I am at Steven Wakabayashi, and you can find me also on the Instagrams. Slide into my DMs.
Hey, that's what I did, and now we're here together.
Yes.
So stay tuned. Steven and I are going to be talking about an issue that is near and dear to me, for sure, and something that's just been going on and needs to be addressed in the Gaysian community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rice Queens, Potato Queens, buckle up. We will be talking about you next. So stay tuned for this episode of This QPOC Life. This QPOC Life. So what is a rice queen? What is a potato queen? Why are they called this? These answers and more. Steven, where do we even begin?
What is a rice queen? Queens that enjoy rice, all types of cooked rice.
Yeah. Jasmine, I love rice.
Yellow rice.
Yes. White. Brown rice.
Brown rice.
Except that's very ironic because actually, no. the rice queens don't like brown rice for some. Yeah. They actually do.
They do. Some Asians identify as brown. Mm-hmm. Some Asians also identify as black.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So a rice queen, we use this term in the queer community as somebody who fetishizes the Asian ethnicity. And so oftentimes you'll see people who are in interracial relationships and these people actually be identifying themselves proudly out in public as rice queens. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, a potato queen is somebody who racially fetishizes a white person, a potato.
Right. So clarifying question.
Mm-hmm.
So rice queens, period, are just people that fetishize Asians. So the reason I ask is because I do know some black people. And I guess it's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Basically, it's hella white people usually fetishize Asian people and their rice queens. However, I have seen people of color fetishize.
Yes. You can be any ethnicity and you can have a racial fetish of an Asian person. And so it doesn't discriminate. being a rice queen doesn't discriminate. You can be black, you can be Hispanic, you can be white and still be a rice queen. You can also be an Asian person and be a rice queen too.
Interesting.
Yes, and they call them sticky rice.
Oh, right. I did know that.
Yes.
I did know that. But that's a different context, right? Because like black people going with black people, that you just would expect that. And like nobody would criticize that. White people being with white people. Yeah.
But this is if you look at these people's dating history and patterns, they only date this specific ethnicity. And so rice queens, typically every single boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever they've partnered up with have been Asian. And on the flip side, a potato queen, someone who likes someone who's white, they've dated a white person and only white people most of their dating history.
Yeah, and so I think we already answered the next question on my list is, are they self-aware, whether you're a rice queen or a potato queen? I think that they're self-aware and that they don't necessarily see a problem with that. Because a lot of times when I get into these discussions, and we're going to unpack, I think we'll choose a path and then we'll go down that. But right now we're just kind of sitting in the lobby. The criticism often the response to any type of criticism or even pointing it out is just love who you love. Like you're gay. Like how would you
or
feel?
Or it's just a preference.
Yeah, it's just a preference. Oh God, we can go on with that. But like they'll say like, oh,
but racism is a preference.
There you go. You prefer to be racist? Then hey, I'll try to be fair. Try to be middle of the road. But I definitely have my own opinions.
I appreciate this.
Just saying that their regular response is like, love who you love, it doesn't matter. And I'm all for love who you love, it doesn't matter. But please be aware if there's a pattern.
Yep.
And there damn sure is a pattern, especially with Asian men.
Yep.
Asian people, because it's like you see it with the, what is it, white, male, Asian, female coupling.
Yes.
And
yes.
then you see it with gay Asians.
On the flip side. Yep.
And white men.
Yep.
So, like, there's something going on there. And I've gotten lots of responses. I will share maybe a couple of them right now. Yep. Like, I've raised this in, like, mixed race groups that I'm a part of in Facebook and Blasian groups that I've founded and on Reddit. And a lot of the responses, it's Asians are racist towards black people because they mothers and parents, whoever, tell their children to aspire to whiteness. Like marry a white man, you'll be more financially stable.
You're taught this in media too, in advertisements, everywhere. You know, growing up all my life in Los Angeles, in the suburbs, all you see everywhere, billboards, white people. And this is all you can really aspire to if this is all you see. And when we talk about queer media and queer advertisements, every single poster in the nightclub scene is usually a muscular white man. And so, you know.
Unless it's a black night.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's a specific racial night, then you won't see any diversity on the poster. And you're taught this all your life, and it becomes a subconscious part of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we talk about being aware, I've found that a lot of people who say that this is just a preference, when you ask them to explain a little bit deeper what preferences they enjoy, it's usually either the physical characteristics of an Asian, which is, you know, you should aspire more than that. You should find somebody who has a very similar personality as you, who compliments you, who treats you well. There's so many other aspects of a relationship that you should prioritize. But on top of that, they will often use stereotypical characteristics to define or to validate who they're dating. And so more often than not, they'll say, well, I'm dating Asian people. I like Asian people because they're so polite. They're so courteous. They're all these things. But then when you point out to them, well, not all Asian people are like that, but also you can have black people who are polite. You can have black or Hispanic people who are polite. And they quickly realize that they have been racially profiling a lot of the people that they had dated in previous past. It's so much to unpack, you know this too. And where I've seen this especially is when we take a look at our history, there's been so much colonialism, of America across the world. And it's so funny. I have a podcast episode on this, and we'll definitely add the link to this
in the show notes.
But I talk about how this has been groomed over decades and decades and decades. You know, you send American soldiers over to Asia, and their first representation of Asian women were in the brothels, were in the sex industry. And if you go back into American media 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it's just depicting Asian people with these stereotypes. And as a part of racial fetishism, these people who date based on race end up leveraging these stereotypes in the relationship. And that's what's problematic.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And Rice Queens today would say, oh, but that's not me. I just the aesthetic. I spent a summer in Beijing studying, you know.
Yeah. Well, to them, I say it's all about priority, right? You have to prioritize stuff, or you have, in prioritizing something, you end up deprioritizing something. If you are prioritizing race, you deprioritize other aspects of a relationship. And so in this case, if you want to date people based on race, what have you given up to prioritize that? Are you giving up personality matches? Are you giving up what people are doing with each other, the reciprocal nature of a relationship? What have you given up? And to that, a lot of people struggle to really verbalize because they haven't really thought that through.
But I don't think they want to.
I know.
So I remember you saying that on your podcast. It's episode 6 of Yellow Glitter, by the way. Again, it'll be in the show notes.
Yeah.
But if you want to jump over there real quick, I wouldn't be offended if you just want to listen to it. I want to point out something to you, and I'll get your response.
Yeah.
From that episode, you say, and I'm paraphrasing, but like, don't put your racial preferences in your dating profile.
Yeah.
Like, these are ways to like dismantle the system, or
it's
just your advice on how to deal with this and like how we can build up from here.
So I don't
put your racial preferences in your dating profile. You say it's tacky.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is your advice to Rice Queens, which, again, I don't think they're going to listen because, like, they don't see a problem with it.
Surprisingly, they actually listened to it.
Oh, they did?
Oh, my God.
Did you get a response?
They sent me Instagram DMs, yes.
Oh. Like, I didn't know I was a Rice. I'm so sorry. Like, probably trying to apologize to get in your DMs. I mean, that's pure conjecture, but I feel like I've studied Rice Queens long enough to know.
Yeah, yeah. But to that, I say... It's tacky because you don't go around work and tell your colleagues, I like working with you because you're Asian. It's so tacky. Why are you validating that you could say this in a dating space when you can't even say it to people at work? You can't say this in a restaurant. You can't say this in any service industry for that matter. What about the dating world makes this okay? And so when you're on Grindr, any of these dating apps, you see so many people, no blacks, no Asians, all these things, it is not okay. And also, I have a huge hate for the racial selection option within these dating apps, so you can exclude or include specific races.
Mm-hmm.
What are you giving up to be able to do this? But at the same time, what are you encouraging by including this type of filtration system? It's funny because in the more straight heterosexual applications like Tinder, they don't have that. You can't do that. And I find it really interesting that all the gay or queer dating apps still allow this to happen.
Especially Grindr. They allow it for their plus users or whatever. Like, you pay to use Grindr.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's held over ever since their Kinder campaign, when they were like, oh, we're going to start deleting profiles that talk about race, et cetera. And I'm like, good for you, Grindr. But your Grindr Plus still has, like, the option to filter by ethnicity. So, like, what is the truth? .gif. Like, .Oprah and all that.
.com.
.gov.
Exactly. No, they've said in 2018 that they were going to get rid of some of these filter options. And to this day, they haven't removed it. No, it's still there. Exactly. And so it goes, you question, what are they putting out there in terms of their advertising and what are they perpetuating by not taking those out?
They're being hypocrites is what they are. I want to roll it back real quick and stick on that, park it at that point for a second about your advice to the Rice Queens. Yeah. Now, I didn't know that there was like response. I do actually want to know what they have said while suspending disbelief, because I still think that they're just getting in your DMs to try to apologize, to get on your good side, to get on a date.
Yeah.
But what have you gotten back from people who are self-identified as Rice Queens and have read or listened to your work about Rice Queens?
Yeah, I think a lot of them are actually in denial, really. Mm. A lot of them are actually in denial and they won't admit to it. And you see in their profile, everybody that they date is Asian, and you can't help but to point that out, right? And
a very specific looking Asian, right?
Exactly. They all look the same. Yes.
I'm Asian.
Yep.
But these Rice Queens are not chasing me.
Yes, yes, yes.
So there's something to be said there.
Yes. The Eastern Asian look, right? They're looking for the traditional Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Taiwanese look. And this is very apparent every single picture that they post. And they reach out to me. They say, hey, good episode. But that they don't know that I'm talking about them, which is really funny.
I just feel like maybe they do know. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then on Reddit, too. You and I are both on Reddit.
Yes, we are.
And
God bless. Oh,
God bless.
God bless our Gaysians.
Yeah, our Gaysians. And
shout out to y'all.
If you're listening to this. And a lot of them, they are actually very proud of it. And
there's a big divide there.
Yeah.
And I think that that is representative of the Gaysian community.
Yeah.
You know, any microcosm is a representation of the larger whole, especially with something as niche as Gaysian.
Yeah.
You do have people defending Rice Queens. So you do have people that are in denial of Rice Queens, are in denial of being Potato Queens, who don't see or who completely understand the dynamic but don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
And then you have what I call the quote-unquote woke Gaysians that are like calling out systemic oppression and like doing this and doing that. And like, applause to y'all, but some of y'all are still dating white men. Like,
yes. Actually, most of the popular Instagram, social media Gaysian celebrities are all dating white men.
That was brought up in our Gaysians.
Yes, yes,
and they named all of them. And I was like, I remember participating in that conversation and being like, so what are we going to do about it?
Yes.
Why can't I find a date?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, totally, totally. And the fact that, you know, they are such huge proponents on social media for queer Asian advocacy, yet the only time they give space to queer Asians in their life is within their media, within their advertisements of content they create, it becomes a little problematic. Tokenizing, yeah.
And we're back with Stephen Wakabayashi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm so fabulous.
Yes.
Now that's what I'm saying. Every time someone in the office asks, how are you? I tell them, I'm freaking fabulous.
But you're dying on the inside because people are burning you at the stake.
Yeah, from that article.
From that article weeks ago.
Yeah.
But this time, we're dying for another reason. Rice Queens, Potato Queens, and we're going to get more personal in our own accounts and stories.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you go first because you're the guest.
Yeah.
But spoiler alert for, I guess, episode 6, as I mentioned earlier, of Yellow Glitter, which is Steven's podcast, available where podcasts are available. I don't know how to say that. Like, where podcasts are. I listen on Spotify, so there you go. I'm contributing to that percentage number.
Just search
just
up
FYI.
Google.
Just Google it. According to you, you are a former Potato Queen.
Totally. Yep.
You used to chase white men, and then you had an epiphany, and then you changed.
Yeah, yeah. For the longest time, you know, I grew up in America trying to be as American, quote unquote, as I could be. And I just thought that was to be as white as I could be. And so for the longest time, I took on white mannerisms. I hung out with only white people. And I also only dated white people. And I always said to my friends, no, it's not about race. It was about how inclusive they are, how open they are, all of these things. And yet, whenever my friends would say, well, you know, black people could be open to, Asian people could be open to, you know, I never really took that into consideration.
Now, were these Asian people saying that black people can be open to, or were these just black people telling you black people can be open to? Because
both.
I'm about to, hey, I'm just shouting out your Asian friends that were advocating on behalf of black people.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, friends from the past, whoever you are.
I know. Thank you, woke friends from the past. I'm doing better now.
Yes.
Yeah, I, for the longest time, that was what I was chasing. And I realized, you know, as much as I had tried to be as white as I was on the inside, and they call this being a banana, yellow on the outside, white on the inside, and I was proud of it. I was like, yes, I'm a banana. I know.
The cringe.
I know, I know. And, you know, I embraced it, I embodied it, but what I realized after all these past years of self-work, regardless of how white I was on the inside, people will always see me for my skin, for who I am, for what I am, and that is Asian. And if I'm not going to embrace it, why am I letting other people embrace it for me?
I'm thinking about that.
Yeah.
I'm looking up to the ceiling. I'm literally looking up to the ceiling, like trying to process that.
Mm.
But continue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so as a part of it, you know, I have really gone in deep to find love and appreciation for this Asian culture. And a bit of backstory too, a little bit of why I disconnected with this culture was because my family was so extremely conservative. And I just assumed that all Asian people are this conservative and I want nothing to do with it. And it was from a fear where I was becoming a potato queen in a way. I didn't want to be associated with this conservative past anymore. But on the flip side, you can argue, to me, back in the day, well, why aren't white people also very conservative? Why are you trying to shun an Asian conservative upbringing and saying all white people are not conservative? And so all these fallacies that you built, especially with racial fetishism, don't work. You're fetishizing and you're going after people just specifically because of ethnicity.
And it's to your exact point that you made earlier when you ask, what are you trading off?
Yeah, exactly.
When you only specify this one thing.
Yeah. I was trading off a lot and I started dating all different types of ethnicities over the past year. And I dated this Asian man in particular this summer. And it was such a different relationship that I've never experienced before, because there is a level of understanding of my culture, understanding of my upbringing, sensitivity in areas that I had never been aware of before because of my past dating history. And that really shook me.
Mm.
And that made me realize, wow, I didn't realize what
it can feel like this.
Yes, exactly.
I can be understood.
Yeah.
Like, that's my thing is like, I've been, so I don't really date a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only ever been in two relationships and they're not even real relationships for reasons I'll talk about at another time. But one was like a 7-year situationship.
Wow.
So it was never a commitment.
Yeah.
Just letting everybody know that. So, but they've always been with black guys because I'm black appearing.
Yep.
Like some people might argue, oh, you do look Filipino, or they might just mistake me and walk up to me speaking Spanish.
It's the color of your skin.
It's some kind of like they know that I'm black something or mixed or something.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm never viewed as Asian, right? So all that to say, what was I trying to say? I lost my train of thought. For me, it's the opposite. I would not want to date white people, despite the fact that I find everybody attractive. And I would want to
there's
hook
some
up
white men who are very attractive.
Very attractive. Yes. And like, I would just hope that they understand and feel the culture, because I don't want to mm-hmm. be in a situation where you don't understand the references I'm putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. for what you just described, it was like, oh, I dated this Asian man and it was a whole new experience because you could basically let your guard down.
Yeah.
You didn't have to yeah. give the backstory of this cultural artifact.
Yeah.
So for me, I've only been around people yeah. that like, understand, and I can yeah. reference Friday yeah. or like something, and yeah. we can just get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
to think that I would enter a space of dating or something with somebody who either doesn't know what adobo is or think yeah. it's that trash that is Miss Dash. Yes, that's a inside joke from the podcast. But like, you know, stuff like not understanding right yeah. off the bat and yeah. having to explain. I don't want to do that work. I'm already 35. Like, yeah. I don't want to. Yeah, it's just. So
but it's like, what are you giving up, right?
Yeah, then what am
are
I
you
giving
sacrificing?
Up?
Sacrificing. Exactly. And what, I mean, what are your experiences with it? How have you felt racially fetishized?
Ooh.
Give me it. Give it to me.
So for me, because yeah. I am black, mm-hmm. And I say black, but I also call my, like, I always say as a black person, mm-hmm. if I'm prefacing a statement,
yep.
It's less comfortable for me to say as an Asian person, but that's something that I'm working through. You asked a question yeah. in the pre-show on how I identify and like which one do I identify with more.
As,
and
yeah.
the quick answer to that is I'm working on my Asian self.
Yeah.
Right. Because for all my life and for everybody that is mixed from both communities or all communities, no matter what you're mixed with, whether it's white, black or Asian, black or whatever,
yeah.
you're black.
Yeah.
Because you look black, you're black.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the question? I'm so serious.
Well, what are your experiences with racial fetishism?
So on dating apps and stuff, you know, the first question is hung question mark, like because that's a stereotype attributed to black people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like block. Like I don't want, and I put it in my thing. It's like my profile, like don't ask me that. That is a racial fetish. You must have a small dick. I didn't say that. I said, I don't want to be fetishized on Grindr. Well, it's Grindr. Well, start with hello or something, because people do use this app for socializing and dating as well. Like, I'm not jumping straight into bed with you. That's fine, whatever. But like, it's just the objectification of being a black person, and in my case, a black presenting person, and understanding that is something that happens, and it's very annoying and is dehumanizing and is objectification. Yeah. I feel like that's the same vein of energy that it is to be an East Asian appearing person and being assumed a bottom, or being assumed submissive, or being assumed that because you're Gaysian, I, a white person, or a rice queen, will take advantage of you, toss you up in the air, throw you against the headrest or whatever. Like, just
oh my God, that's happened to me so
you.
Many times, you know, on the first date, they would make all of these jokes about how I'm submissive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? For the longest time, because when we talk about what we're sacrificing, right? I put up with so much of this stuff, so many racially insensitive comments, because I was like, oh my gosh, I really want to be a white person.
Mm.
I know. It was just identity crisis.
Yeah.
And I, for the longest time, I let so much of these things slide. And, you know, on the first date, at one point, this Brazilian man I had dated here in New York City.
He wanted mixed kids.
Yeah. I know. He wanted mixed kids. The entire date, he talked about how he wanted half Asian babies. And he was a white passing Brazilian man. And that was the entire conversation. And I just cocked my head to the side going, is this right? What are you talking about? And, you know, at the time, I put up with it. I was like, this is going to be great. And looking back, I cringe so hard because I let that happen. I was okay with it because I was prioritizing race.
Yeah. There's a whole lot more to get into, but we don't have a third episode lined up, but we do want you to come back. I want
you to
be on the panel with the rest of the folks.
Oh my God, I would love it. MIA today.
Yeah. You know, Stephen, where can the people find you online? Just give your deets.
Yeah, you can find me on my Instagram at Stephen Wakabayashi, also on Facebook, and at Twitter at Waku, W-A-K-U-U. Slide into my DMs. I answer all of them, or I try to at least. And yeah, shoot me a message. And also, you can find my podcast, Yellow Glitter, on Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, and all the other platforms where I talk about mindfulness through the eyes and soul of a gay Asian.
Well, Stephen, I definitely want to thank you for being on this episode, as well as the last episode where we talked about your article on Queer Eye Japan. Mm-hmm. I really look forward to you visiting again. Yeah. Like I said, I actually had that in the script written this way, but I was like, well, let's figure out how it goes first. And like, totally would go on a second podcast date. So here we go. Yes. And with that, my queer folk, what's the line? Go out into the world and be armed with more knowledge and a reaffirmed spirit. I'm Jonathan, aka Blasian FMA.
And I'm Steven.
And this was This Cupac Life.